Today she was writing a letter, which was unusual. Elizabeth thought that it was a complaint letter, and she prayed that it wasn't about Miss James. She approached nervously.
"Are you busy, Mother?"
she asked. She stood there, a thin little 10-year-old. Her short fair hair, almost white, it was so fair, was pulled back from her face with an Alice band, but when she was fussed, like now, little wisps of it escaped.
"I'm going to send you to Eileen," said Mother.
Eileen was a name on a Christmas card. It was a name associated with a small, cheap toy on her birthday. Last year, Mother had said she wished Eileen would drop the birthday gifts. It was silly to keep it up, and she couldn't possibly be expected to remember all the birthdays of Eileen's dozens of children. It seems the only possible solution. Elizabeth's eyes filled with tears. She wished she knew what she could do to be allowed to stay. She wished hard that she could be the kind of girl that parents didn't send away, or that they'd come with her.
"Will you come with me?"
She looked at the carpet hard. "Oh, heavens no, dear."
"I was just hoping."
"Elizabeth, don't be so silly.
I can't possibly go to Eileen's, to the O'Connors with you."
"Darling, they live in Ireland." "Who'd go to Ireland, Elizabeth, for heaven's sake? It's out of the question." Thursday was always a busy day in the hardware shop. Sean O'Connor employed a boy, Jemmy, who wasn't all there, to help carry out the supplies from the yard. He didn't want his children cluttering up the shop on a Thursday. He'd said so a dozen times. He wiped a weary forehead with a dusty hand in annoyance when he saw Aisling and Eamon running into the shop.
"Where's Mummy, da? Where's Mummy?"
shouted Aisling.
"Where's Mummy? Where's Mummy?"
repeated Eamon. Eileen had heard the commotion, and in small, quick steps she came out of her little office and down to the shop. Her office, with its mahogany surrounds and glass windows on all sides, looked like a little closed-in pulpit, young Sean had said to her once. She should really preach a sermon to everyone in the shop rather than fill in books and ledgers. But if Eileen didn't fill books and ledgers, there'd be no shop, no house, no luxuries and helpers like Peggy and Jemmy. Her face was set in a hard line when she met the excited children. Taking each child in a most uncomfortable place, just under the shoulder, she marched them firmly out of the shop. Sean sighed with relief and got back to business. Up the stairs of the house in the square, the children squealing and wriggling, Eileen was unwavering.
"But, Mummy, we just wanted to show you the letter."
"With the picture of the King of England on it?"
"It came by the afternoon post."
Eileen ignored them. She put them sitting on two dining chairs opposite her and faced them. "If I've told you once, I've told you a million times. On Thursday, your father doesn't want to see hide nor hair of you in that shop, and neither do I. As it is, he's over there waiting on me to come back and do the bills and write up the books for the farmers. Have you no idea at all of obedience? Aisling, a great big girl of 10 years of age. Do you hear me?" Aisling hadn't heard a word. She wanted her mother to open the letter, which she thought must be from the King of England himself. In Mars Pub that night, Eileen passed it to Sean to read. "My eyes are so tired I can hardly see it," he said. "Anyway, that writing's like a spider half drunk getting out of an inkpot." "That's italic script, you ignoramus. That's the way the nuns in St. Mark's taught us to write. Violet remembers it, I don't, that's all."
That Violet has little else to remember," said Sean. "Life of ease over there, she has."
"Not since the war started," Eileen pointed out.
"No,"
Sean agreed into his pint.
"No. Is her man out in the trenches? Oh, I suppose he'd be an officer, being in the bank and that. That's the way the British Empire does things. If men have good accents, they get good jobs and they get to be officers."
"No, George isn't in the army at all. He'd something wrong. I don't know what. Anyway, he was medically unfit."
"Who cushed your life in the bank, I suppose? Didn't want to leave," said Sean.
"Sean, it's the child. It's Violet's child, Elizabeth. They're all being sent to the country out of London for fear of the bombs. You know, we read it in the papers. Violet wants to know, will we have her here?"